Fuck it, we're doing it live.
Okay, we're doing it live.
Fucking thing sucks.
Oh, wow. Bum, bum, bum. That feels like that happened a long time ago.
What happened?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was a very long time ago.
It was a very long time ago.
It was a very quaint time for political news.
Yeah.
And to think that was the craziest thing at the time. Yeah. Now it's like nothing.
At the time, that was like as bad as it got, you know?
Yeah, well, then the Dean Cain incident, yeah?
God damn it.
Dean Cain.
Howard Dean Cain.
We should bring him back, dude. You know?
How can we bring him back?
Like, this is what we do. We interview him for the podcast.
Are you implying that he's dead?
We interview him for the podcast.
Yeah, he's dead. Though, he died. Right? Yeah.
And then he'll gain popularity.
Superman died.
Right? And then people will be like, we want Dean Cain back in fucking office. You know?
Yeah.
And then, that'll be a slogan.
Yeah. You know, nowadays,
you know what? At that this might point, work. He could probably pull off an irony campaign of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People would be like,
he can
sick.
Be like, remember when this fucking sank my campaign?
Yeah.
Now it's going to make my campaign. It's going to be sick.
And everybody, as soon as he goes up, like, to give a speech, people will be like,
He's at
a political debate, and his opponent says like a scathing like response, and he just goes, and like no one. How do you debate against that? You've won.
Yeah.
You've already won.
He's I'm sold.
The moderator is like, Mr. Dean Cain, your rebuttal.
Oh my god!
By the way, it's Howard, but
Howard Cain.
Yes,
it's Howard Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
Yeah.
Michael Cain.
Michael Cain. Mr. Michael Cain. What's your rebuttal? Well.
No, Michael Cain would just say, I once had a diamond. It was the size of a tangerine.
Of a tangerine.
Quite the tangent we've gone on here.
Quite the tangerine we've gotten.
Quite the tangerine.
Tangerine dreams.
I think there's a problem with Star Trek. And what? I think the problem is that they keep putting heavy things on high places, and they really should stop.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they really ought to. The cargo bay has proven to be the most dangerous place on the ship.
It doesn't need to be this way. They don't need to do this with the cargo. Yeah. Like,
they don't have any space. They don't have any space, guys.
The cargo bay is
they don't
so
have any space. As they float through space.
It feels like it should be like on airplanes, you know, like how everything like latches in and like straps down.
There's a sign as they walk through the cargo bay area. It says variable gravity area, right?
Honestly, this is a point we should stop belaboring, considering the fact that they do not have seat belts.
That's true.
They never did.
Yeah.
Well, even
we should
on the,
be surprised.
Even on the space station, like, you know,
there's no seatbelts on there either.
But like everything's like strapped in, you know, like properly.
Yeah, but
that's because gravity, I guess.
Yeah, dude, we have artificial gravity, dude.
Yeah. I don't know.
Get your head out of space, like, dude.
Yeah.
get a dampener on that.
Let's just
brain
stop going to. Let's just stop thinking about space.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. This is Star Trek. Stop thinking so much about being in space. Jesus.
We watched True Q this week.
I have a question. You think these people all get sick when they get back home when the gravity shifts a little bit?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
They're just fucking shitting everywhere.
But there's probably like pills they take to like auto.
Like boner pills? Like boner gas pills?
Yeah.
Or maybe some auto fortification in the transporter.
Yeah, maybe the transporter.
Do you guys think erectile dysfunction is still a thing in the future?
No, that's gone.
It's gone. Everybody's just rock hard.
It was
hard.
The first thing they got rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first thing they figured out.
The little thing they put in the necks? The first medicine they put in that thing was Viagra.
Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Well,
let's get Blue Chew as a sponsor on this thing. Hey, guys.
Wait, what is that? Is that something we're supposed
sponsor
to
that,
know?
They're sponsoring everybody. That's what I'm saying.
What is that?
Viagra.
Yeah.
Is it?
No, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
What's
well, let's
it called?
Not talk about them. Let's it's not talk about them Blue until Chew? They pay us. Stop it, Sarah. Shut up. You're giving them free publicity. Just say it once.
Stop advertising for them.
Yeah, it's a color.
I didn't even know who they were until you brought them in here.
A color Cardo. And a chew. Guys, Cardo. But do you guys think that there was a scientist, and he's like, look, I need two things to work on, like, ASAP. One, those gravity dampeners.
Yeah.
Two, we all got to get hard. We all got to get hard. We need fucking dick pills.
I think it is harder to get, it is more difficult to get hard in space. I think that's actually a thing.
Probably, right?
Because of the if you're in anti-gravity.
It's just such a huge turnoff.
Yeah.
Oh, being it's weightless. So unsexy to be floating.
Yeah. That would be a good question to like ask an astronaut. Like, how do you masturbate in space?
That Chris Hadfield guy, we should ask him. How are your boners on the space station?
Yeah.
Were they as robust?
They were fine.
They were fine.
how does that work?
I've heard him talking, but now I imagine him like talking like Wilford Brimley. Like, well, I have diabetes, so it's a little different.
the lack of gravity helped my diabetes.
Yeah.
but in true Q, there's two Qs, like a child Q. And a real Q.
Okay, wait. We might have
Qs. You should call it a child Q.
A teenager Q.
No.
I guess.
No, she's an adult. What are you talking about?
18?
Is she an adult?
She's 18.
She's in college, bro.
Look, if you're over 18, that's of legal age.
She's in college.
Yeah. Okay, because, so see, that confuses. Oh, wait, no. Wesley.
She's in college.
Wesley is like 19 at this point, right? Or 20?
Like, she old enough to be on Girls Gone Wild, she's an adult.
Okay. Oh, I missed that part of the episode.
Yeah, there was a whole section where
she went wild for extended periods of time.
She was auditioning for Girls Gone Wild college.
You heard the steel drums and everything.
Yeah. That's how you know.
Okay, but in all seriousness, I do have a question that kept bothering me during this episode, and maybe we talked about it. His name is James
Francis or something. He got arrested for a while. is that what you asked?
So,
Joe Francis. Sorry, I apologize. To James Francis.
So they're called the Q. They're called Q, but they keep calling Q as like a name. But like, isn't that the description of their species?
It's both the name and everyone just calls themselves the Q.
Sarah, have you not been to New York, New York?
What?
It's just like the name of their species, but it's also what they all refer to each other.
So they don't have individual names. Like that, I was kind of wondering the whole time, like Picard would be like, oh, here's Q, meet Q. It would be kind of like calling us human. We're all human, you know?
Yeah, so it's because they're all kind of part of the same continuum. So they do and don't have an individual sense of identity all at once. So
that seems like they do. They
address each other by like any sort of name or address.
Yeah,
like,
when in the episode where he lost his powers and the other Q showed up,
did he just call him Q?
They just called each other Q. Yeah,
That's what I'm trying to remember if that happened or not. But
yeah, I believe
he went. He said, "What's up, my Q?"
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if that line was uttered.
Yeah, that he
or
said.
If I just remembered it.
Yeah. Well, she has a name. Her name's Amanda. So would she just keep her name?
Well, this is a very...
It means her name becomes Cumanda.
And it's a very unusual case because this has never happened before. So we don't know, I guess. I mean, I guess the humans would still keep calling her Amanda. But I guess when she, spoilers, rejoins the Q continuum, she'll become...
She's going to change her name to Amanda Hug and Kiss.
Can I get an Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Why can't I find Amanda Hug and Kiss?
Oh, my God.
But yeah, we'll get into all that. But true anyway. Q, notice we didn't have a Q episode at all in season 5.
Well, that was a great season.
Yeah. And now, season 6, we have Q's back. And this episode aired not long before Halloween, October 26th of 1992. Diane, let's go around us.
Nothing Halloween-like is in my history, but I do have 2 points. The first, actually both things happened on the 21st. Madonna released her book titled Sex, a controversial coffee table book full of lewd and or nude photographs and writings. It sold 150,000 copies on its first day of sale in the US, topped the New York Times bestseller list for 3 straight weeks, and eventually went on to sell 1.5 million copies. Fun fact, Vanilla Ice is in it somewhere.
Oh,
damn.
Is he naked?
Probably, I don't know. Oh, okay. Also on the 21st, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, released for Game Boy. And it is the very first appearance of which character? Can anyone guess?
Daisy.
No.
Wario.
Q.
Good guess. Wario. It was the very first appearance of Wario.
Okay. Was Daisy not in the Super Mario Land game?
Daisy was in Super Mario Land 1.
Oh.
Daisy was in the movie, dude.
Super Mario. Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around. I thought Wario came first.
What is Wario?
Wario is a childhood friend of Mario.
Okay, but like, what is he a human? Is he a
he's a
like Bluto, right?
He's kind of sort of
he's inverted Wario Mario. Yeah, yeah.
So is he evil?
But he looks he's like fucking Luigi. He looks like a coked out Luigi.
No, he doesn't. He's super fat. What are you talking about?
You're talking about Waluigi?
Oh, I'm thinking of Waluigi.
You're talking about Waluigi.
Yeah.
Waluigi is Luigi on meth.
Yeah.
Wario is Mario. Who is basically like an evil capitalist.
Waluigi isn't like he's on meth. It's not like he's tweaking or anything.
Why is he named?
He tends to be like really extravagant and sassy. He has roses in his mouth all the time.
He's very sassy.
You know what, dude? They really missed an opportunity. They should have cast Al Pacino as Mario in the first movie.
Hoo-ah!
No, they should cast Al Pacino.
My name is Mario. This is my brother.
Cast Al Pacino as Waluigi.
No, as Mario, dude. and then De Niro is Waluigi.
De Niro is Wario.
Yeah.
Wario. So many flavors.
Why is he named Wario? Wario or Wario?
Because his M upside down becomes a W.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a West.
Why not?
It's also a pun in Japanese.
It's more of a pun for Luigi.
Yeah. It's a V in Germany. Yeah.
What?
Maybe.
What? The W's are pronounced as V's.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So he's Wario.
Yeah. That's fun.
But yeah, that's why Wario exists. So.
Yeah. So that's a trip around the sun.
Oh, okay.
Which I just completed a trip around the sun, everybody.
What does that mean?
I thought it was my birthday.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh. It was my birthday yesterday.
It was your birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
Sarah's birthday. She went horseback riding.
I did.
And then ate a 16-ounce steak. So
damn.
Well, no, I did not finish it, but
The year wasteful.
In another
one
year,
ounce for every year.
Yeah, that's how old she is.
It's my 16th birthday.
Yeah, and I need to be put on a list for dating her.
For eating too much steak.
Yes.
Let's jump into our sponsors this week. I want to go back.
Who's our sponsor this week, Marvin?
It's one of our old sponsors.
We haven't talked about it
in a while. Ground News.
What?
Ground News?
That's actually kind of a surprise.
Who are these fools?
So Ground News.
It's been a bit.
It's basically, they claim they're not a news aggregator.
No,
they are. They are a news aggregator, but it's
don't
more.
Say that.
It's more than just news aggregation. Basically, what they do is they will use an algorithm to compare and contrast lots of different news sources with each other for the same headline topic, which means that you get to see how different types of news outlets present a topic. Maybe they're very biased, maybe they're very neutral, etc. So here's a good example, because I thought this was really funny. So today, Mediaite, which is considered a generally left-leaning online news thing, it had a headline called "Representative Sheila Jackson Lee claims she misspoke after delivering bizarre speech about the moon being a planet made up mostly of gases." So that's how Mediaite posts it. And, you know, now we're going to Fox News. And normally I won't give Fox News much credit for anything at all, but I thought this was really funny. Representative Jackson Lee ripped after defending her moon gaffe and blaming it on GOP. Vote better, people.
Wow.
Clearly two very like different moods, vibes from two different news sources.
Plus, we all know that the moon is actually made of cheese.
Yeah, delicious cheese. She also claims
gourmet.
She also claims some solar systems were smaller than the Earth, which I thought was great.
What? Yeah, she also said the galaxy is on Orion's belt. I don't know what that means.
You know what the craziest part is? She was once on
the committee. She asked for sugar and water.
Sugar, water.
She was once a member of the House Subcommittee for Space Exploration.
God damn, dude. Wow, really?
So, you know, this
we're,
is
the, guys, we're never going to get to Star Trek. Meaning like that cool, fun no, space time?
No, that no, no. We'll be dead as a civilization before we get to Star Trek at this rate.
God damn it.
It's not going to happen. Sorry.
Not now.
Maybe Star Trek is a pure fantasy.
Maybe the next incarnation of humans.
So, Ground News, you can use it for free, but you get a lot more out of it if you sign up for a subscription.
Could you use it in the air?
Sorry?
Could you use it in the air, like on an airplane?
Why not?
Wi-Fi?
Why not?
Because ground news.
Well, you could use anything with Wi-Fi. When you do that. But there are three tiers.
The grounding is figurative.
Oh.
There are three tiers. There's Pro, Premium, and Vantage. And I personally use the Vantage tier because when you use Vantage, I've actually been using Ground for a year now, actually. And with the Vantage tier, you get full access to the My News Bias personal dashboard. And the cool thing about that is it actually tracks your reading habits. So you can see how many stories you're reading, what types of stories you're reading, what are the biases of the stories you tend to read from, how factual are they, what are the companies that own these newspapers and these news outlets. You know, that's all good to know. And you can customize your feed. You can choose from over 150,000 topics, locations, and people to follow. So, you know, it's like a news aggregator, except you can get way more informed by comparing and contrasting lots of different sources. 50,000 sources from around the world.
Wait, do they do the thing where, like, you want to read an article and then you click on it, and then they're like, well, you got to sign up for the fucking yearly subscription for this newspaper?
No. Actually, if you use the free version, any article you click on, it's just readable right there. So that's pretty neat. Cool. If you want to sign up for a subscription and get access to some of the more power features of Ground News, just head on over to check.ground.news/newbie. And that gets you 15% off any subscription you choose. Again, that's check.ground.news/newbie. And that's 15% off any subscription you choose. Also, old mainstay, ExpressVPN.
Wow.
Yeah, old mainstay. They're a good VPN. In general, it's good to have a VPN as part of your general internet security toolkit. And the nice thing about ExpressVPN is that not only have they stood the test of time in terms of how they've handled all of their security issues, you know, there's the infamous story about Turkey, you know.
Hell yeah, they ate too much turkey and they were like, give us the fucking information, give us the keys. And they're like, no.
Hell
no. Matter how tired we are from this turkey, this succulent turkey.
The succulent Chinese turkey.
Turkey.
This is democracy manifest.
What is my crime for enjoying a Chinese?
Enjoying a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Well,
that's Aussie classic.
God damn it, dude.
It's so good.
If you wanted to watch that video but not know anyone, no one
can track you
watching that video.
Fuck everyone. You should be proud you're watching that video no matter where.
You can use ExpressVPN. And it's great because it's also fast, like the name suggests.
You can get your hands off my penis.
You can get up to a gig per second transfer speeds, which is amazing, super fast for a VPN, and 3,000 plus servers, 160 locations, spanning 105 countries.
Ricardo's like losing it at the moment.
Actually, and also I misspoke. It's not a gigabyte. It's 10 gigabit speeds.
Whoa. So, Marvin, you keep misspeaking, dude. You got to eat a succulent Chinese dinner. It'll perk you right up.
And you can use it on up to 8 devices. So that's a lot of places you can use ExpressVPN. So if you guys want to use ExpressVPN, head on over to expressvpn.com/newbiestartrek. And if you sign up for 12 months, they'll give you an additional 3 months.
Ricardo's making me laugh. He's making me laugh.
Which gives you an overall savings of 49%.
Is it the succulent Chinese dinner?
Look up, guys. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go to YouTube and type in succulent Chinese dinner.
Or no, meal.
Meal, sorry, guys.
It's meal.
If you want a succulent Chinese VPN. No, they're not Chinese. I think they're actually British.
Yeah, probably don't want to get that messed up too much.
If you want a succulent British VPN, Head on over to expressvpn.com/newbiestartrek. And if you sign up for 12 months, they'll give you 3 months for free. That makes it $6.67 a month. It's pretty good. All right. All right. Denise, let me know what's going on. What's going on?
Ricardo, could you please tell us what happened in this episode?
God damn it. I just keep thinking about that fucking video. Yeah. Man, this girl's in college, dude.
Yeah.
This girl's not in
college. Well, she's doing their internship right before she goes to college, essentially. That's what she's doing.
I mean, I knew
her summer internship.
I knew fools that were like 19 in senior year just because of how their birthday fell. You know, it was weird.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
Just let them be. Let them be, you know? She flunked a little bit in the beginning and then she got really smart.
Or she just, sometimes some people just start. Like a year late just because of circumstances.
Maybe she was raised in Texas and they're like keeping her back. So she's, when she gets to high school,
she's big enough.
Yeah. I thought it was like a college internship thing. It's not. Was it like,
dude, she's not quite in Starfleet yet, or Starship, the Starfleet Academy yet.
So that's but like, what does that mean for age range? You know what I mean? Like, is that like after high school? Like,
she could be in college and then she's like, well, I'm going to switch from college to Starfleet.
I guess so. Yeah. I was viewing it as like, sometimes, you know, people do like a summer internship before they go to college. I thought that's
not me. Because she said like all sorts of like different areas of study that felt like a college thing. Cause I did internships in college.
Why?
Well, cause it's,
cause I had to.
Yeah.
Also, that's a fucked up thing, dude. That's called slavery.
Well, they were paid.
Yeah. No, they were not paid. They were not paid. Absolutely.
Well, it's because your internships were in Florida. That's why they were paid.
Yeah. Don't act like there aren't unpaid internships here in California. Come on.
I know. But the internships.
Well, they pay you in succulent Chinese meals.
Yeah.
I would accept that.
Yeah.
But my assumption was that because it's the future, the primary education, like high school, is like they teach stuff like fucking crazy biochemistry and shit. That's why I thought she knew all that stuff.
I mean, she also looks, you know, older. You know, she doesn't look.
That's just the biz.
Well, yeah, that's something you just like, if you look at Carrie, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I would assume Riker wouldn't hit on someone who's underage.
But we don't know that.
But he's not.
Don't assume.
He's also not, though. He's explicitly not.
What do you mean he's no, Marvin, come on.
He's not. The entire episode, he
resists her advances at every turn.
He's like very subtly the whole episode being like.
No. At the very first scene when he meets her. I need you to replay
I've seen the game tape, dude.
Play it back because he definitely hits a smile and is staring at her and he's like, oh, who's this? And well, then he
he does that to dudes.
No. Play it back.
You're reading into it because you have a crush on Riker, dude, and you're very jealous.
I don't.
That he just smiled at somebody.
Sorry. I have to disagree. I think that's just how he just greets people.
There's like no
I'm
way.
Looking at it, and he does not do the usual Riker, I want to screw this lady
that's
smile.
That's crazy. You know what? I think it's so fascinating that all the guys have the opinion that he was not hitting on her on the first time he met her, and I have the opinion that he was. So
because we're right.
That's interesting.
Well, but I also there is a potential sensitivity either way, but I disagree. There's lots of examples of when a new woman enters and he like horn dogs on her.
He clearly doesn't do that.
We've seen all sorts of examples where it's more intense than this.
And the whole point of the episode is that he is not like requiting her advances, and she has to manipulate his mind in order for it to work.
I know. So, he gets to that point, but I think initially he gets to that point when he finds out she's a Q. But
I don't think so.
I feel like that scene shows he has a very subtle way of being like,
I totally disagree is because when he walks her to her room, he could stay and chat with her like he did with Jean Grey.
Leave. It's always her trying to keep him.
Yeah. He's always trying to be like, I'm being cordial. You're cool. Blah, blah. Here's your room. I got to go. But with Jean Grey, he fucking kissed her. He stayed and like, you know, like entertained the.
I mean, I thought he was just being respectful, you know, but.
No. Okay. Riker, we've known, has been like extremely forward when it comes to his romantic advances. So I like, even when you mentioned Jean Grey, like he was explicitly not supposed to make out with her.
Yeah.
But he made out anyway. With her. So, you know, I think, especially in the context of the episode where she has to like use her Q powers to change his mind, I just have to disagree.
Well, I think eventually he gets there once he finds out that she's a Q because he doesn't like Q. So
I don't think that's why at all. I don't think anyone has a negative opinion of her because she's a Q, though.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Wow, that's crazy. We have such different
opinions. Nobody in the episode goes, oh, you're shitty now because you're a Q. Literally, no one does that.
I think they all definitely have a neutral to negative feeling about the Q.
Not to her, though.
I
think on the ship. No. I'm saying in general. But I think once they all find out that she's Q, they shift their thinking a little bit. That was my perspective.
No.
I don't think that at all.
In fact, they're really sympathetic about her. They even take into account, like, should we tell her that they're going to kill her? Like, even being sympathetic about that. But, like, how are we getting that, though?
I mean,
I don't get anything about them viewing her more negatively once she's discovered to be.
I'm not saying. Negatively, I'm just saying differently.
I think they go out of their way to try to not treat her differently.
Yeah.
In fact, when she asks for it, Beverly goes, "Sure, that's fine. I can do that." And and people are actually trying to they're trying to help her, but they're still giving her tasks. They're still taking her out to dinner. Like, you know, like they're not trying to treat her differently. Like,
I think it's very subtle, but I think there was directions to do very, very subtle, minor acting things that to me, when I was watching the episode, people appeared mildly uncomfortable after they realized that she was.
Not to mention, I don't think Star Trek has ever been about subtle acting unless the actors themselves.
That's just my perspective. I mean, it's cool. We have a different perspective, but
yeah. But I'm just saying, I don't get that at all. Because I think most of the acting, especially by season 6 and beyond, tends to be pretty direct. And also, the best acting is by her. Everyone else is just giving a regular acting performance.
It's true.
Yeah, this actor was great.
Olivia Dabo's amazing.
Yeah. She kind of makes the whole concept work beyond the script, in my opinion. Because the script is fine. Until you cast her. And then it's like you genuinely feel bad for her as she's going through all the stuff she's going through.
What's her background? Yeah.
Well, she was human and then she was cute.
I can tell you that she went on later to play Melanie/10 in Batman Beyond, as well as Morgan Le Fay in Justice League.
Oh, okay,
Her parents died exactly like Superman's parents. In Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Because of the tornado. they just waved her away. They're like,
she could have saved them, but he said, no, you can't let them know.
Yeah, don't let them know that you're a Q.
Don't worry, I'll go get the dog. It has to be me.
Yeah.
Apparently, her most famous role is for playing a character named Karen Arnold on The Wonder Years. So I don't know.
Yeah, she's Kevin's fucking sister, dude.
Oh my god! Oh, that's
Kevin's sister.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Shit! I recognize her now. Oh my god!
I haven't thought of The Wonder Years in like a decade. So
My god! So
I only know the theme song.
Okay.
Oh my god! Now I love The Wonder Years, but I didn't realize that was her. Oh my gosh! That's crazy.
Okay.
We'll have to re-edit this so we sound smart by naming
no,
this.
No.
Oh yeah, yeah. Never. Oh yeah, I recognize it from The Wonder Years. See?
She also, when she was older, apparently played a recurring character on Law and Order Criminal Intent that was really popular.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Gosh. Yeah, that is her. That's nuts. Oh my God. I recognize her. I knew she looked familiar. I just couldn't place it.
She's a really good actor. Like she really holds the episode together by herself, really.
Mm-hmm. She's apparently in Conan.
Oh, all right. Well, shoot. Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she's great. And I love her, like, hot pink purple outfit.
Yeah, everyone who's not in a Starfleet uniform has always some sort of like 80s workout outfit on.
I love it.
It just reminds me specifically of like a doll's outfit. Like,
it looks like
something you'd see, like, not Barbie, but even Skipper wearing.
Yeah, so, you know, like in Toy Story when they zoom in on their perspective and their fabrics are like thicker.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of that. Yeah,
cuts of it's so blocky and chunky and big.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. It looks like someone is like cosplaying as a toy
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I just rewatched Riker and being introduced to her for the first time. Mm. And then I just popped the random episode and then I opened it and I was looking for Riker. Then I went to another one and I finally found one where he smiles. So when he meets this girl, Becky from the Wonder Years, there's no teeth in the smile. It's just a smirk. And then eventually it gets bigger when he's like, oh, come this way. You're an intern. Cool. But he smiles like full smile when he meets someone he wants to fuck.
That's true. He has that shit-eating grin he often does when he's like, I remember distinctly like when he meets the Irish lady.
And yes.
And he's kind
of if he wants to fuck you full teeth.
Yeah.
If we have to quantify it, I guess.
Full teeth is full fucking. Yeah.
Full teeth, full fuck, just smile, closed mouth is
high. I'm also not discounting your interpretation. I just personally don't agree with it. That's all. If you have that interpretation,
that's
fine.
Yeah, that's how I interpret it.
Which is valid. That's valid. I just disagree.
No, I'm a woman. My opinions are not valid.
Your opinion's totally valid.
It's just that I didn't see it. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we've derailed it enough.
No, this was all about the episode. That wasn't derailing at all.
I feel like them all, we were going out of order. I don't know.
Agree to disagree again, Sarah.
God damn it. Can't say anything right.
So, woman, what do you know about derailment?
Yeah, dude. We'll tell you when to get derailed, okay?
Dude. Only Pete Buttigieg knows about derailing.
Yeah. What do you know about that?
What do you know about big rigs? and or trains. Okay, so
only men know how to derail trains.
Yeah, dude. And Denzel Washington. Okay, so Riker takes her to her room after meeting her. She's an intern. She doesn't know what she's gonna like specialize in, so she's doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Probably like engineering.
She's undeclared.
Undeclared. Just like the show, the John Apatow show.
And I totally forgot about that show.
That's a good show, by the way. And so,
it was fine.
It was a great show. What are you talking about, Marvin?
It was fine.
God damn it, dude. You don't know anything about comedy, dude.
I mean, it filled a very specific niche that I don't think has really been filled since.
Yeah.
That's true.
So then, Riker takes her to her room. And she's like, oh, wow, like, this is, you know, a huge room. And, like, she basically says kind of, like, that she grew up with a bunch of animals and blah, 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 blah. And then when Riker leaves, she turns around, there's a bunch of puppies on the floor just running around.
Well, it's because specifically because she mentioned that she misses her dogs.
Yeah.
So she wishes dogs were here.
So whatever she's kind of, like, thinking or wishing or wanting, bam, it shows up. But did you notice that she... Well, I guess I was gonna say. Well, she kind of liked Riker right away.
Oh yeah, that's implied to me right away.
Yeah,
it's less obvious in the first scene to me, but you get the vibe of it.
Yeah,
and as it moves on, it's like, oh, okay. Well, that's not great. And as she keeps, there is a lot of like weirdness around her in the episode. There's like a bunch of really uncomfortable scenes with her and Q, where Q is just way too close.
Q does not understand personal space.
But I feel like that's their bag, though.
See, to me, in my mind, I was thinking Q, especially this is the shitty Q. So we're not getting fun, goofy Q. We're getting Q from episode one, who's willing to kill the human race.
Yeah.
So
it feels like Q. Since he's kind of not a human, you know? They're not human, really.
Explicitly not a human.
Yeah, so they just don't know, like, body space, you know? Like,
that's what I was thinking. Like a Q would never think they have any boundaries they can't.
Yeah.
They don't have a concept of boundaries.
Because Q doesn't... Also, he's never like exuded like an ounce of fucking like sexuality towards something. You know what I mean? Like nothing attracts him basically, but mischief probably. He's like Loki, dude.
Yeah. Nor does he know anything about being polite or nor does he know anything about like manners or anything.
So did you feel that Q's interaction with Amanda were not sexual?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they were.
That he was,
despite being like wonders if inches he was testing from her face.
I mean, I think there is a subtext of it being extremely uncomfortable, which could be like drawn from the fact that, you know, in most other situations where it is sexual, this would be uncomfortable. So I think given as it presented, it does draw on that for sure.
I mean, it's the easiest thing to portray, you know what I mean? Like, to just be too close to somebody.
Okay, but like, think about it like this. Like, I guess I'm just curious. Like, imagine that you're on set, right? Mm-hmm. You're the director. You're trying to direct these scenes between Amanda and Q, mm-hmm. and your direction is, Q, I want you to be like centimeters from her face while you're delivering these lines. I want you to grab her, physically move her. You know, like, he's very physical and very close to her face a lot of times.
A lot.
Like, what, as a director, what is your intention with that?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to get across that he's trying to kind of basically, it's the thing is that he's not the dark side. Like, he's not trying to like corrupt her. He's just trying to be, he's trying to test her to see if she'll push like her mind to like,
I think it's him like gathering information. Like, I'm going to get in her face and do everything, you know, like I'm going to act like a Q to this Q and see how this Q starts reacting back.
So you see I get the lines, which all could have been delivered sitting across a desk or a couch. But I guess I'm wondering about the direction of the physical closeness. Do you think it could have been like a power to kind of like show the power of female Q in this moment between him and Amanda?
Yeah, yeah. I mean it's definitely drawing on the imagery of
an
older man like towering over a younger girl. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely at play here. And I think they're explicitly using that in a way to show that's very uncomfortable. Like, and especially the very first thing he does when he sees her is he goes straight to her and grabs her face and like gets right in her face.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Too, he's very physical. Like,
you know? I think they're also trying to, force a scenario in which she needs to defend herself and assert her own power.
Yeah. Right.
So like, she only like actually pushes it, like when she fights back and pushes him, like, you know, shoves him against the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, she had to be forced to do that. But that's mm-hmm. when she finally demonstrates Q-like powers, like deliberately in front of people.
Right. So it could be that, but I do think overall it is to be like, he is not a happy or good presence. Like, he's not treating her respectfully at all. And I think that's the point where it's supposed to be really uncomfortable, and it's supposed to be like not a great thing that it's being done this way. Cause no one else
I just personally think that that's such an interesting direction to give and go, where you could do powerful, but not creepy, control but not creepy, but this is like control, powerful, and creepy. Like, I guess it's just interesting that was the direction.
I mean, creepy, you're allowed to have creepy imagery.
No, like, I know it's allowed. I'm just saying that I find it's interesting that they decided to go in that direction.
Well, I think it's also a visual shortcut to go. If they were just standing across the room, he would seem like he's being respectful of her.
But why? Like, why the disrespect? Like, why?
Because he is someone who Q, as presented by John Delancey, even when he's goofy Q, is always presented as someone who flaunts his power needlessly and is just someone who thinks he's completely above everyone. And even with someone who he thinks is also a Q, but, you know, she hasn't like fully manifested her powers yet, he treats her that way as well. And I think it's both almost like a power play. It's almost like a way to like just demonstrate that she is not on his level yet. And it's also just a shortcut for he's not a good guy. Like, I think he's a shithead in this episode. But
I think he's trying to accelerate her own like awareness of her powers. Because he's dropping lines occasionally throughout the episodes, like, look how far she's come, or, you know, like, look how different she's acting now.
Right.
That she is becoming more like a Q. Like, the more
she
like,
yeah.
Yeah. And like, the closer she gets to relating to him, like, the more he seems to feel successful when he, you know, gets through to her that, like, hey, it's not that easy being a Q. Mm-hmm. Like, you will encounter situations where, you know, you can't control your impulse to use your powers, and the Q have rules for this,
which is also
kind of a weird thing, like the fact that rules do come into play, like all of a sudden, like Q, the rules that confine Q or restrain Q usually encompass like the entire episode of hijinks.
Well, part of it is because, so the idea of Amanda being tested and that she needs to be killed if she's not a true, like a true Q.
Yes. And that, yeah, there's that aspect too.
Yeah. So that aspect was actually added very, very late. So yes. Apparently, I think it was like, even while they were shooting the episode, they added these scenes. Michael Piller intervened and added scenes where they have to imply that if she doesn't meet up to Q's expectations, they will destroy her.
And how is that even possible? How do you destroy? How do you kill a Q?
With a tornado.
I did not think that was possible.
I mean, remember when Q lost his powers? They can do that.
Yeah. So the Q, I think.
I guess they can gang up on each other.
Yeah. Maybe if there's like five Qs versus one Q, you can fuck that Q up. You know, that's probably what happened to her parents too. You know,
No, they were killed by a tornado found crushed under a building, I guess.
I guess that's while they were in human form and they were
curled up, striped socked stockings.
Yeah. So
yeah, I guess I just didn't realize that Q could be destroyed in that way.
But I mean, they took away his powers and they could have killed him too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All you have to do is remove her powers completely and then kill her.
Yeah. So they probably would have done something like that or just deleted her. You know, they probably have the ability to do that if there's multiple Qs. But basically, they decided to add that aspect really late because they realized that there's no stakes the episode otherwise.
So let's go for just killing her?
No, in terms of a storytelling perspective. So
I mean, but there are other stakes, I think. That's the ultimate stake, no? I mean,
but there weren't other stakes besides that. The other stake is she
doesn't go to
college. I mean, it's not a very big stake.
I think there are other options. That's such an ultimate. Well,
give us like an example.
Maybe he's threatening someone to harm someone that she cares about. Maybe there's, you know, maybe she, I mean, I would think also like kidnapping her and forcing her to live with the Q or something, you know, like something that like threatening her career, her future, whatever she wants. I think those are all very valid things.
Well, I mean, in the context of they've already shot some scenes. You have to figure out a way to add stakes while not completely deconstructing the episode. Because some of the solutions you're positing require a complete rewrite. So if it requires her being kidnapped or requires some family members being threatened, you didn't have to write a story where for some reason the Q are motivated to threaten her family members, or you have to write a sequence. I mean,
you could just say that. He could just say that, like, you know, your family. I don't know. I don't think you'd have to shoot scenes. I'm just saying. I think there are other options. It was just very extreme to me, I guess.
Well, it's also to make sense. They'll just be like, well, just get rid of her.
Why bother like doing the rest of the stuff? They're all powerful. Like the easiest thing to do and the most powerful thing to do is to just be like, well, you don't exist now. Like that's the most.
I guess I'm wondering too, like how can she not, if they decide to kill her, is there no way she can defend herself in any way since she can do anything, right?
No, because they could take away her powers. Like Q lost his powers.
Can't she take away his powers? You know, can't she do the
first of all, they don't know if she's a full or a hybrid. And second
they seem to imply she's a new person. Powerful.
She doesn't even know how to control her powers. Like Q's trying to teach her how to do it. She's not powerful enough to.
Well,
I don't think they're trying to frame her as particularly more powerful than anyone else.
No, but unless I'm remembering this incorrectly, but wasn't there something like Q was, they were specially interested in her and it seemed like they were testing her to see if she was powerful enough on a level that they were interested in. Like it just seemed like there was another layer that they were shocked by how powerful and how quickly she was able to manipulate things and that.
I don't think they were shocked.
No, it just seemed like there was another, like there was a couple lines in there I know where Q was like, they were implying like we're interested in her for a specific reason.
I think the interest came from the fact that her parents were Qs who had a kid as humans.
I don't know. For me, I took it as like when Picard was asking Q, like, why her? Why are you interested in her? Like, what is it? Like Q, it seemed like Q to me when I was watching the episode, like there was something deeper there.
Did he ask that?
But he also straight up told him, like, he's like, we're interested in her because we don't know if she's a hybrid or full. And if she's a hybrid, then we have to kill her.
Yeah, think that is actually what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, we should go back to it because I don't know.
Pretty, I think that's pretty explicitly what the conundrum is for them, is that they don't want to let a rogue Q-like entity exist outside of the Q continuum.
Yeah, they, like, if you're going to be a Q, you have to be part of the continuum.
Yeah, yeah, where I'm trying to go back to it. To me, I just interpreted that there was something. I was merely testing her powers, he says. She's quite a spitfire now. Oh, okay, here we go. It just seemed like to me, like, I don't know, when I was watching, I just got a sense, what's your real purpose here, Q? What's really going on? This continuum has a vested interest in this young woman, and they're kind of like talking back and forth. She'll just start, have to start behaving like a Q, and then he's just like, she is. And it just seems like, I don't know. And then it cuts to a different scene. It just feels like there was just something, like, we have a vested interest in this woman.
Well, yeah, because they think she might be a Q because she either has to be full Q and join them, or if she's half a Q, they're going to kill her. Because, like, again, when Marvin said, they can't just have a halvesy person with a lot of power. Even he says it. You can't have a person with omnipotent power just kind of go out without being, like, in their guild or unchecked.
It just seems like a lot of rules for a species that has no rules. You know,
that's, but they didn't, like, say they don't have rules.
No, they said you can do. They literally said you can do whatever.
I see Sarah's point, though. I understand, like the frustration with the Q here, because Q himself presents as, like, a chaotic. I can do whatever the fuck I want, and yet he is somehow also the enforcer of some council's rules.
Yeah, right. But I think he literally says you can, as a Q, you can have your heart's desire. You can do whatever you want, and then
I think Q has always been a liar, and even within the perspective of the Q continuum, Q is the aberrant one. There's a reason they punished him. He's the weird one out of the Q continuum. The Q continuum in general tends to be quiet observers and tends to just do whatever, you know, like little things here and there. This Q, the John Delancey Q, is the chaotic, shitty one that causes problems. And that's why they punished him before.
Okay.
And this is, and the way he's teaching her, he's kind of telling her his philosophy.
Yeah.
I'm a Q, I can do whatever I want. But in the context of the Q continuum, not really, which is why they want to drag her into the Q continuum, because once she's part of the Q continuum,
he's like Denzel in fucking Training Day.
He's trying to coach her on what he thinks is the proper way to be a Q. And there's another, the thing that he is hiding from Picard in that scene is that if she doesn't succeed, they will kill her. And I think that the one scene later where he's walking in the hallway and the shadow shows up and he's talking basically to the Q continuum there, and he says, oh, there's a possibility we won't have to kill her. I take this as to mean that maybe if they had time, they could have written it better, but John Delancey's Q actually doesn't want her to be destroyed. And that's why
that was what I thought they were trying to get at as well.
Yeah, like he's going out of his way to, because the easiest thing to do is just fucking delete her. You know, why are they going out of their way to, like, make sure that she's okay? So the subtext to me reads as John Delancey Q is like, no, I think we could save her. I want to try to save her. And he's doing all of this to try to make sure she won't be killed. But at the same time, he's still shitty Q, which is why he's still being creepy. It's why he's still, like, having this power dynamic over her. And he can't help but demonstrate, oh, look how much better I am than you. But hey, you're getting better, you know, that type of thing. So that's the way I had sort of interpreted it, is that.
That's more or less my read of it as well.
I will say this is one of the very few episodes, I think, where the B plot line actually does work really well with the A plot line.
Yeah. It's all weaved in correctly.
It's a really good example of, like, okay, they thought about this well. Incorrect.
Well, part of it is because usually in Star Trek, especially by the time they were after season two or whatnot, A and B plot lines, they tended to be, like, mixed together later. They will come up with A plot lines and B plot lines, and they'll go, throw this B plot line in with this A one. So this script actually was not written in the writer's room. This was another spec script. It was submitted by someone named Matthew Corey.
Oh, what? That's crazy.
Matthew Corey was only 17 years old.
What?
Which means he is the youngest person to have ever submitted a script to Star Trek and have had it produced, which is pretty neat. They rewrote it quite a bit because originally it was called Q Me, because he literally wanted to play a character.
It was presumably he wanted to play the character because it was originally written as like a young man.
Yeah, it is strongly implied he wanted to play the character of Amanda in the episode.
Or whatever the character would have been called.
It would have been called. And originally it involved Wesley. So Wesley was supposed to be there and be the one who's also kind of...
Okay, like, this is a good segue then to, I think, talk about fucking Beverly's involvement in this episode, because she's... What happened to Troy? Why is Beverly... I guess this makes more sense.
It's weird.
Like, why is she playing therapist all of a sudden? And like, but now that you mentioned that originally Wesley was supposed to be in the script, is that maybe something that was left in? Why is she so present?
I think that makes sense. I think happened is, because it would make sense to write it this way, is she's a young girl and Wesley's a young boy, and they would probably hang out a lot, right? And commiserate. And they were like, well, Will Wheaton's gone, so let's give her all of his lines to his mom. And maybe that's what happened, and that's why it's all Beverly.
That's what it seems like, because I'm like, isn't we have a counselor on the ship, and she is not.
She has dinner with her. That's it.
She's not counseling. Yeah. It just felt weird to have Beverly. It didn't seem like there was a clear reason other than the link being that she has a son that's in Starfleet. And, like,
and they talk about, they commiserate over what they would do. And
No, what do you mean what the link is? Well, the link is she's undeclared and she's got the three fields of study.
Well, she just started with, but she was going to study it all. So, I mean, I guess
she does spend the whole episode with Beverly.
But I'm saying, like, he also hangs out with engineering.
She spends a bit of time in engineering with Geordi.
I know that. But, like, it just seems like Beverly is kind of like her stand-in therapist/advice giver.
They do have tons of scenes together where she is the mentor.
It's excessive. And I thought maybe that would be more of a Troy thing. It just seemed like a very deliberate choice that I feel like maybe was a leftover from the
removal. It could be. I also think sometimes they tend to write Beverly as the advocate character quite a lot. Like during the Jean Grey episode, where Jean Grey was being presented as the arranged marriage thing. Like,
well, she was the jerk in that episode, though.
Well, she's also potentially...
She was the one who was like just a big shit to Picard. Picard was the advocate in that episode.
Well, no. She was actually trying to stick up for the Jean Grey and be like, why should you be given away? That sucks. She should be able to do what she wants to do. So, and Picard was on the side of, I don't want to violate Prime Directive. So that's kind of what happened there.
You're right.
Yeah, Beverly tends to be the one who advocates for the more.
Well, she also advocated for what's his face? Borg boy.
Yes. She was the advocate for Hugh.
She also advocates for fucking death.
Yeah.
Literally, she did.
Yeah. You know what she doesn't advocate for? Bringing her husband Jack back to life.
That was one of the funniest scenes. Oh my god. And then, oh my god. Okay.
She was like, no comment, no comment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was like,
isn't there anything you wish you could do?
No.
I'd like to cure more people's diseases. She's like, wait, what about your husband?
Like, for example, I would like members of my family back. How about you?
I mean, she asked her directly, like, would you bring Jack back to life? And she was like, I'm not sure. You know,
I don't think I could make that decision unless it was right in front of me.
Like, I thought, like, if somebody asked me that about Marvin or something, I would be like, yes, absolutely, yeah. I would bring him back. Yeah, no question.
Honestly, I do appreciate Beverly's response there, because I feel like that would be my response. Because in my head, I'd be thinking about the whole monkey's paw situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this a monkey's paw?
Yes, exactly. I don't trust any of that.
But with the Q, it tends to not be a monkey's paw. Q tends to be pretty literal.
But literally also, the things that they do also tend to be like temporary parlor tricks as well.
Right, but like, they can make it permanent.
I know they could, but they never like depicted it as such. So I'm mistrustful.
Like in Hide and Q, which is actually, speaking of Hide and Q, this episode is basically a remake of Hide and Q, just much better.
Yeah.
Where Riker got the powers instead. But in Hide and Q, remember they were doing the whole thing where they have to get the fucking vaccines over to the planet, and the planet imploded, the cave imploded, and a child died or something. Mm-hmm. And Riker was like, oh, if only I could use my powers. And then after all that happened, Q like rolled time back like 2 days, and then that was permanent. That's real. Q's powers are real.
Even in this very episode, Amanda uses her powers to like heal an entire goddamn planet. And
yes, she literally fucking saves the entire planet using a Gek and just saves the whole
thing.
Yeah,
so even with those examples in place, I'm always thinking of the like the 1 second mariachi ban. I was like, that's not going to stay.
But they're real. Those are real Mexican mariachis.
I know. They never existed again.
He got them from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. There was a whole rental process. It was just
and they
really
were
fast.
All very confused what that they were doing.
Quinceañera is devastated.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's just so funny how hesitant she was. She just was like, I'm like, what?
You know what? I wish Picard had been the mentor, because then this would have just been an episode of X-Men.
Yes.
Amanda is basically young Jean Grey, figuring out she's an Omega level mutant.
Accuse Magneto.
Yes. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. You have to join me on my meteor.
They could have been rival mentors, Q and Picard. Come on, it would have been cool.
Yeah. I feel like as the season's going on, Picard's just doing less and less. He just kind of shows up.
Out. Yeah.
I got my jacket.
Yeah. Sometimes he'll have the cool jacket on. Sometimes no.
And then I have my jacket and my job is done here.
Let's get out of the way just because we're kind of jumping all over the place and we're almost done going through it. But I want to know, Sarah, did you just hate this episode?
No, not at all. I liked it. I did like it. I don't know if I'm giving the impression that I hated it, but I did like it.
No, I think her impressions are just different from ours in terms of...
It's just... It's interesting. I liked learning more about the Q. I don't know if the writers realize at this point how not fleshed out Q is as a character, and it like I feel like I'm still confused as to their power, the rules, the this, the that. You can do anything you want, but you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, there's this council, there's these rules, and there's all this stuff, and it's like, but wait, I thought you said we can do whatever we want, but then you have to be part of the continuum. It just felt like it wasn't as fleshed out as I thought it should be, but it was cool to know that. Also, like, did the Q powers just start showing up for her? She said they started showing up
when she was a teen, her ex-gene.
Exactly.
I guess I thought, wouldn't they have showed up sooner? I don't know. Like,
well, they didn't know. These powers only started manifesting 6 months ago. That's when they started taking notice.
So is she
I bet you it just took notice because that's why he showed up. Like the radar went off. You know what I mean? Like, oh, someone's using our powers. Who the fuck is that? Is it Tim? He's like, no, right. Tim's here.
Like, got a blip on the Q-dar.
Yeah.
I guess maybe you have to be old enough to summon it. Like, you can't be like five years old.
Well, she's a hybrid. So. Okay. You're born with it usually.
So she's a hybrid. It's confirmed that she's a hybrid Q?
I don't think it's confirmed, but I think it's just like really odd that she was born
as a
to Q parents who took human form.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think the other thing is that like Qs don't reproduce.
They're not supposed to. It's really weird that there even was a baby Q.
Yeah, they have always just existed. So they are basically like entities that have always existed.
So then how did they reproduce when they were human?
They don't produce.
Like, but then her parents obviously
Her parents took the form of humans. So as humans, they reproduced.
Okay.
And Q was very sure to point out that they did it in the traditional human fashion.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting.
Okay. So has no other Q done that before? Is it like the first time that's
happened? It's apparently unusual. Yeah, it's apparently very unusual.
That's why they have like such a vested interest in this girl.
Yeah. This is also why I think Q is the weird aberrant one amongst all Q continuum, because they considered those Qs to be weird too, but they were on the opposite spectrum. Like they loved humanity so much that they wanted to be humans and live life as humans. Q, as presented in this episode, is the opposite. He thinks humans are lame and gross. And,
he
like,
hates that they eat.
But at the same time, he's also being typical Q Sundere. Like kind of want to preserve this specimen of like human procreation as done by Q.
Yeah,
because he's fascinated with humanity despite his stated low opinion of it.
But I think it also betrays that he has a softer side, because it seems like the subtext is he's advocating for her survival against the rest of the Q continuum. Because
I feel like every action he takes to further push her into like, you should stop being a human, be more like a Q now, it's just trying to keep her alive.
Yes, even the ultimatum she gives her at the end, those are both ways for her to survive and stay. And even gives her the option of, I mean, potentially you could stay.
I mean, is it really an option when faced with letting, I mean, you go back to this very common trope that Star Trek does, like the little trolley option where it's like, okay, you right. can like, all of these people are going to die, or you can just, you know, stay here and let them die. You know, you're just kind of like, whoa, well, that's quite well, the
will you get well, bit well, by a radioactive spider and then do nothing ever again?
I know, I know. But also like,
would you just keep your Iron yeah. Man suit in your garage?
I know.
Never, like, never wear it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but also, it doesn't feel like a choice.
I know, yeah, because it isn't a choice. Like the thing is that like it's kind of like helping her view. Like, look what you could do. Like, if you go full blown into being a Q, you could save. You could do whatever you want. You could save people. You could save a planet. Go help Superman. Whatever you want, dude.
Yeah, I mean, but to answer your question, I didn't hate this episode, but I had problems with it.
I gave it a 7.
Huh? I would give it an 8 personally. I actually thought it was overall pretty solid.
Adjustment, I'm in 8.5 territory.
Wait, 8.5?
Yeah, me.
Wow. Who's the homie that like keeps track of the records?
Oh, it's Johnny. Johnny Jones.
Johnny, I'm changing my mind. 7.5. 7.5. Okay.
All right.
I'll go with a 7. 7.6.
All right. Are we doing the, like, nice. I thought we were doing halvesies only. All right, whatever. You do.
There's no rules. There's no rules. I can do anything I want. I'm a Q. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was
you
fine.
You can do anything you want except talk about
Q Club.
Talking about, what's that?
Q Club.
Q Club, yeah.
Q Club.
I thought it was generally one of the better Q episodes, I think.
Yeah, like if it's going to be a Q episode, I'd rather watch this one.
I hate every other Q episode. And when this one started, when I read the title, I was like, oh, fuck, here we go, dude. Fucking shit episode.
Right.
And then watching it, I was like, oh, okay, not bad, not bad. And then it ended, and I was like, oh, it was pretty benign. Here's the thing. There's a couple episodes that I've hated of Star Trek, just because, and like, I'll never watch again. This, because like funny things are happening, and like Riker wears the top hat costume.
Oh yeah, the Jane Austen separate universe that she takes into. Yeah,
I didn't. I would leave the sun in the background at a party, but I wouldn't. It's not one of the ones where I'd ban for life.
Yeah,
for me, this is one of the episodes I remember, and I've always kind of liked this episode primarily because I think Q. I hate goofy Q. Yeah. I think Q's really annoying and not a great character when he's just like, oh, look at me. I'm going to make a cake and make mariachi show up. I think like it's fine, except it like turns him from something that's like an interesting concept potentially into just a joke. And I think that's really annoying sometimes. I like malevolent Q. I like when Q is like this evil jackass kind of, but I do like that they gave him the undercurrent of, well, he's actually trying to save one of them, you know. And I think that makes it way more interesting.
It made me second guess him the whole time.
There's layer. This is a thing where there is a mystery to it too, a bit, but unlike the last episode, the episode works really well once, even when you know what the mystery is, because the performance, Amanda's performance is quite good. Like whenever she is trying to deal with the revelations and like the choices she's making, there's a lot of scenes where she's all, like either on the verge of tears or is actually crying, and you're like, wow, that's like really
There's a reason she's Kevin's sister.
That's streaming down her face, like as she like uses her powers to save all the people. It's like, that's really compelling stuff.
That was a really good shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I saw, I was like, oh, that affected me. I was like, damn. And that's after she saved all those people.
Cause she knows exactly what she is doing. It's
she knows like what she's kind of committed herself to doing.
Yeah. It's the impossible choice.
So at the end, basically to wrap it up, at the end, she's given the choice. Like I won't have to kill you, but here are the two options. Either you come with me if you want to live, or you're banned from ever using your magical powers, Harry. No magic.
Harry's banished from Hogwarts and must go back to living life as a muggle.
And so she's like, well, I'll stay. And then immediately she's given the hard option of picking whether to save this planet that's been needing all these things.
But Q claims it's not even him. He's like, this isn't even me.
Yeah, it's about to explode.
I don't think it was him.
I don't think so, but they're having some kind of emergency thing happen.
It's
because
those fucking aliens on the planet lied about the state of their nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
So that's why.
And so, of course, she's put in an impossible place.
Planet's about to die.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we only have minutes. Oh, no. And then she heals the planet. And I'm sure it triggered Q again because he had left. But like, yeah. It was such a big use of power that he fixes the planet and everything's back to normal. And mm-hmm. Q shows up and he's like, I knew it. Gotcha. Yeah. And so she decides to go and be a Q. And I wonder if she shows up again.
But not before saying goodbye to her.
Yeah, she's like, no, parents. I'm going to go visit my parents, you bitch, before we go back.
Yeah, which is pretty perfectly fine.
That's great. Yeah,
very valid.
Like, all right.
Yeah, let's do it.
We have to talk about the dinner scene with Riker and Deanna.
The Jane Austen. That was the second creepy.
But like, I think the beginning of that, you notice, so Deanna and Beverly take her out to dinner and then Riker comes in and he comes by and she's like, hey, why don't you join us for dinner? And he's like, no, I have other plans. And then he like does his little Riker chair maneuver.
He does the Riker maneuver over the chair.
And sits with this girl. But I think it's so interesting that in that room, in that scene, in that moment, there are like three women who are all involved with him on different romantic levels.
That's true.
There's a date he's on with a random woman who we have no idea who that is. We have Deanna, who's his fuck buddy. And then we have Amanda, who has a crush on him. And so all of these women and are
Beverly.
All there.
He's Beverly, fucked Beverly, too.
And he's fucked Beverly. That's like, right. So yeah. I just was like,
not
Jesus
Christ. Not while fully piloting the body, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, he's piloting the body, all right.
Well, it's just like an interesting moment where like all of these women have varying relationships with Riker in this
Riker's
scene.
A fuckboy. That's why.
Yeah, this is true.
You know what? He probably has a fire D.
Fire demon?
Yeah.
Fire as in like it's on fire? Like he has like because he chlamydia? Caught something? Or?
Yeah.
No.
But this is the second scene that I thought it was creepy, which is the teleport to Jane Austen, and then she forces him to love her.
They call it the Jane Austen's because she's wearing like an Empire waist dress and like,
yeah, and he's got the top hat, and wearing like a gazebo.
It's kind of got like a rainbow Mr. Darcy look.
Yeah. What's the show on Netflix? Puckerton. What is it called?
Bridgerton.
That's it.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's like that style, right?
Yeah,
I'll call it gazebo like, world.
Yeah. Gazebo world.
It is interesting that he's
that's
like
the world
no.
in Westworld.
You want to go to gazebo world
or Puckerton?
Doesn't look like anything to me.
Yeah, it's a
goddamn gazebo.
It's a very uncomfortable scene. I will say.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it's being forced. You know, the fact that it's just a much older guy kind of over her. It's kind of weird. You know, it's not great.
I mean,
but that's the point. The point is that it's uncomfortable. And she realizes later, this is not real. This is uncomfortable, too. And
Well, it's a good lesson, though, because I don't know how I would have written it. Like, she has an immature kind of like infatuation with this dude, right? Mm-hmm. And then she manipulates his mind. And she's like, oh, it kind of like does two things. One, it shows her how much power she has.
Yeah.
And two, it shows that like she realizes immediately that's not a good way to run as a Q. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, if I manipulate people's feelings and I'm not helping them, then it's ingenuine.
I think she realizes at that moment, I don't want to use these powers for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
You mean
yeah.
I can't manipulate Riker to kiss me all over my neck like that? Creepily?
It's the fastest disillusionment ever.
Yeah.
The way he was kissing her was like so weird. I was like, ugh.
Well, he was kissing her in a way that she imagined.
That was how she wanted it in that.
Yeah, that's how she,
I just felt like on the actor level, I was like, oh God.
It was probably uncomfortable.
This moment. It's
Kevin's sister, dude. You think King Kevin is uncomfortable? He's uncomfortable as shit.
So there was one thing I had misremembered about the episode, and I thought that's what's going to happen in the scene where she's like, I would like to see my parents, right?
What do you think happened?
I thought it was going to show John DeLancey as the dad.
Oh.
And that would have been like the twist, and that would have explained the scene right before where he tells the shadow, I don't think we have to kill her.
Been pretty compelling.
And it would have explained that, hey, both of her parents didn't die. John DeLancey escaped. And like, maybe this is why he has some resentment over humanity now.
Because wait, hold on. So does that mean that like all this time you've held on to this headcanon thinking that Q had a kid?
I did.
No.
Damn.
So that's where I was. I thought that's what this episode was. And then after we watched it, I was like, wait, that's not what happened at all.
That's right.
And then we forgot to mention, like, we saw a ghost Q.
The shadow. Right?
The shadow Q. Yeah.
That was the continuum.
And also that it turns out it was Palpatine all along.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to kill her, Emperor.
I mean, what's also funny is all the Q have their unique little hand motions to summon their powers.
Yeah, they all do different things. I like hers.
She did the Doctor Strange sometimes.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, she makes the little pinched fingers and goes. Yeah.
And then like twirls it. And then Q does like a little bird wing thing.
Yeah. I think that is neat. Other Q. Sometimes Q snaps his fingers.
Well, it's very Bewitched, but that's kind of funny because in earlier drafts of the script, they had originally named Amanda after, gosh, what's the name of the character from Bewitched?
Bewitched.
Oh, I don't know.
That's her name. But it was a character's name from Bewitched, and then the producer.
Genie?
No.
Was it Genie? Oh, that's I Dream of Genie.
That's I Dream of Genie, yeah.
Same thing. No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, I think primarily I'm giving it. I think the script, it's unfortunate that the fixing happened after they started shooting. I feel like they probably could have made a lot of the story elements of the stakes being a lot tighter. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a combination of Amanda's character. And honestly, I think John DeLancey does a pretty good job in a lot of scenes, too.
He's great. He's a great reoccurring.
He's great now, but I hated him all along. Before this, I hated him.
Yeah, like I will say that this was the episode where Q was perfectly fine to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It wasn't
everything
perfect.
He did was like was fine.
Well, but to me, this fine. Is and this is what to me this is what Q should be.
Yes.
Q should be this thing where it feels dangerous the whole time that Q is there. And the only other time it kind of felt like that is the one where he introduced the Borg. I forget the name of that one. But it has Q in the name, obviously. But
right.
That was the only other time. But even then, it was almost jokey because he does like the kung fu pose with Guinan.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, what are they really going to do? Like, right here?
It's a Palpatine movie.
What aren't they going to do?
So, you know.
It's a force kata.
And there's a lot of good little moments, like the one where, you know, Q, the first time he comes in, he just barges straight through the walls into a room.
Yeah,
and
like, yeah, I like that, actually.
But then when she throws him away, the second time he comes in, he's about to do it again, changes his mind, and then decides to knock and open the door. And I thought that was way better. Like, it's a really good showing of his mental progress.
Yeah.
And the way he's progressing, too. Yeah, it's a lot of neat little things.
It was a weird show of respect for her humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, which normally he would not do. But I think it's also a realization that, hey, she's kind of strong. Maybe I don't want to, her off too much.
What if I'm in a little hype, so here's my what if this is like the Johnny Cash song where like he was banging that lady and this is his but you know
love this Johnny
Cash. I love this Johnny Cash song. You know what I'm saying? It's really his daughter.
He was a side Q the whole time.
Side Q all along. That's what she called it, side Q.
As like one of the last like final thoughts for me with this week being such a existential week for me, as in like the solar eclipse happened, it was my birthday, and it just had me thinking like just about space and other beings and things. And I was thinking like, damn, I wonder if a species like Q exists out there that is just so much more powerful than humans. And it's so fascinating when Star Trek includes such a powerful species like the Borg, like Q, who can pretty much do anything. And then humans seem so incapable comparatively. And I don't know. It's been such an existential week. It that just had neat. Me thinking like, damn, does that exist in our reality? Like, is there something that there's species that are more powerful and we just seem so juvenile comparatively? I don't know. I think yes. To me, there's no question in my mind. I think yes. But
for me, the question, no, it's not a question. For me, I don't, it's not that I don't care. It's that it doesn't matter because we're too stupid for them to ever contact us.
Well, it's not even about contact. It's just about existence. Like, I'm not saying
even
that
if
they
existed, been they wouldn't be like, they'd be like, those idiots are fucking. They're fighting the sand still, dude.
I mean, contact's another thing to be debated, but I think existence is.
I mean, they totally could question. Exist. And, you know,
it just made me think with the solar eclipse happening. It's just very. Yeah. It's a very introspective week about.
I always
humans.
Thought it was very interesting that TNG very purposely decided to start with Q.
Yeah.
That you normally would start off like on more of like a grounded idea of sci-fi. But Q is interesting, like you're saying, like almost like fantasy existential. Like, yeah. Q is not really a sci-fi concept. No. Q is like basically a magic being.
Q seemed like a very blunt way to push forward Gene Roddenberry's initial philosophy of like, in the future, humanity will have figured it out.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Yeah, and like we are worth saving and we can show any superior alien species that we're going to get there.
Well,
yeah,
like, well, Picard also makes a big speech about humans having morality.
Yes, there was that whole speech he does chastising Q at the end where Q claims it's because of their Q morality that they're allowed to do what they want. And then Picard goes, no, your morality is stupid.
I mean, but I think that's also kind of goes to what I'm saying is like, okay, yes, I think we all know and agree that there are beings, whether we've been contacted by them or not, that exist that are probably more advanced and powerful than us. But Picard is making a speech saying that like it doesn't make humans any less worth it. Like, even though we may not, like with Beverly doing the medical lab test and then the Q Amanda took a shortcut and Beverly was like, oh no, we needed the data. Like, even though you know a faster way, this is the way we do it and we do it for this reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it just was trying to like say that humans may not be advanced as some other species, but we're still worth it. We're still worth saving in some ways and we're still interesting in some ways.
Sure.
And sure, yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe. I feel like that's the argument he was trying to make.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think at this point, I'm still waiting for our Q to come and save our planet. Please, just step
in. No.
They won't be here to save us.
Don't need a Q to save you. That's a bad.
No, like they did, like fix climate change. Please,
they're not going to come here to fix us.
No,
they're going to come here to vaporize the planet into raw materials.
the best argument for even like a god I've heard and like made sense to me was Neil deGrasse Tyson, where he's like, if there is a god or a being like this, I would consider them gods. You know, mm-hmm. the Qs. Mm-hmm. They're either not all powerful or not all good. Mm. One of the, it's got to be either that they're not all powerful because they can't come here and fix your problems, and they're not all good because if they have all the power and they're not doing it, then they're not all good.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think Neil was the first to say that, but
can,
yeah,
it's so one of those, both of those. I think it's one of the Beatles. Be true?
Yeah, definitely one of them.
Can
yeah,
both yeah. of those statements be true? Like, Ringo. Yeah, I think so, right? Like, they're basically, I mean, I believe that they're all not good. Like, I don't, if such a thing existed.
Well, I mean, I think that's the idea. The idea being that if there was a god, if they are both all powerful and all good, there should be no suffering. There should be yeah. no
also,
problems.
but good is a perspective, right? Like, we're probably a plague on this planet, and getting rid of us is probably good for like animals and elephants and leopards yeah. and things.
Maybe
like,
why are we here? Like, we should be gone away. Already.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why I think Earth Day is such a joke.
Yeah, it's
we
like
should have been deleted a long time ago.
Yeah, like good,
Earth will have
good
plenty of days after we're gone.
Yeah.
Oh yes, no, good is a perspective. Like, I'm pretty sure the Earth views this as a illness, a plague that they that Earth wants to get rid of.
Well, look at the dinosaurs. Phase, look at the dinosaurs. We have our time coming. Don't worry.
Oh we'll yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. Our time's coming. We'll be done shortly.
We might live to see it.
We one might day, live to see it.
One,
we might
one day. It's
hopefully
gonna,
it's like soon because I don't want to keep working.
Tomorrow a Q will just come over and go, yeah. This is all wrong. And yeah. then he'll just
just play fucking play closing time while he kills his own closing time.
No, it'll be instant. This will just go, ah, no more humans. It's great. Now you know like in Last of Us, after humanity fell because of the cordyceps plague.
Yeah.
Then there's like thriving greenery everywhere yeah. amongst well,
every post-apocalyptic movie
It's nature, really
the planet's fine. The planet's fine.
Oh yeah, well, Earth is fantastic. Actually,
legend. There was trees in New York, like in the middle of the street.
Well, that's more of a modern conception. Old versions of post-apocalypse, like Mad Max, is like the world is nuked. You know, so and like Fallout games are like the world is fucked.
But is that due to humans nuking it, or like is that the natural?
Did you say doo doo? Did you say doo doo?
Is that
in the older versions of post-apocalyptic
the fiction, Old Testament.
It tends to be that the humans ruin the earth beyond. I think now post-apocalyptic fiction tends to lean more towards, oh, humans just fuck themselves over. Everyone else will be fine. Like,
oh yeah. No, like in those like Last of Us, the earth kind of resets to its natural healthy state.
Yeah. And humans are the ones.
Planet of the Apes. Suffering. Look at Planet of the Apes. It was beautiful when the apes took over.
Yeah, the original Planet of the Apes actually was kind of based on this. It's like
it was beautiful out there, dude.
Yeah, the apes thrived once the humans were gone.
Yeah, they had horses, dude, and they were talking.
Yeah,
they're doing math and shit.
They were dancing and breakdancing. Playing piano. Gosh.
I just saw the trailer for the new Kingdom. Is it Kingdom of the Apes or I don't know what it is?
Go
the new
one that's coming.
Planet of the Rise of the Kingdom of the Temple of the Apes.
It's
Kingdom. I don't
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. What are you talking about? Why?
I've never liked any of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, I love them all.
They're good. They're actually good movies.
Really? I don't know.
Yeah, I love them all.
Yeah.
It's creepy. I don't like it. But that trailer looked dumb as fuck. So anyway.
Well, that was true.
Agree to disagree again. That's 3 for 3, dude.
Oh my god,
that was true Q. And hey, maybe
hold on, I have one final thought.
Oh,
I just want to say that if I ever get asthma, I want an inhaler as cool as that one guy.
Oh yeah, dude.
Where
he had like a cyber Catholic like goth inhaler.
Cyber Catholic.
Yeah, it was like on like
cyber Catholicism.
It was like on like an elaborate chain.
He's like, you look like a monk. Do you take the body of Christ? Yes.
Would you modify the body of Christ with prosthetics?
Yeah, he looked like a friar's inhaler, but it had lights on it.
Their version of the Jesus in the cross has Jesus with like a laser eye and like and like a claw arm.
I'm in.
Yo, what if he came back but better?
That's how he came back.
Yeah.
They built him, but better. And then that's why he came back.
If I came back, he'd be like, oh, this planet's mid. I'm out.
What if the cave exploded open?
And that's why he ascended into the sky afterward. They gave him rocket packs that let him fly away. Yeah.
And then all you heard was, take me higher.
Creed began way back then.
Oh, yeah. Belated Creeds to everybody.
Yeah. May the Creed be with you as well.
Well, that was true Q. Maybe the best Q episode so far.
We don't know
I
yet.
Say so.
So far. I said so
yeah,
far.
So far, I agree.
Yeah. I think this is Q at his best when Q is interesting and it's kind of scary. It's good when Q is scary. Even in he almost fucking blew up the whole ship with the warp core.
Yeah.
And he implied that if she didn't save them, the Enterprise would just be destroyed. That's pretty scary and badass, actually. So, you know. But yeah, if you guys enjoyed the episode, maybe you can go over to wherever you're listening to the episode, Apple Podcasts. Well, Google Podcasts is dead, so that's dead.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Well, maybe do.
Or try. You could try. Or Spotify.
You might just get redirected.
Yeah. Or YouTube and give us a rating or a review. That'd be great. Yeah, if you can do that. And also, if you guys ever want to send us an email, you can always email us at contact@newbiestartrek.com. That's contact@newbiestartrek.com. This week, we're going to do two emails because one of them is a Johnny email, so it's an update. And the other is a fan. So this one's from Adam and talking about the inner light. They talk about one other thing, but it's a spoiler for Deep Space Nine. So Adam, that's not.
Come on, dude. So, it's out of bounds, dude. It's out of line.
Not really a spoiler, but we're talking about it before we
shoot.
So Adam says, the inner light is probably my favorite episode. I remember it blowing my mind when I was young and first watching it. How long does each newbie think it would take for them to give up and accept their new life instead of trying to get back?
10 seconds, dude. 10 seconds, dude. Less than 10 seconds. I'd be like, I'm out. I'm not working. I'm not even putting 2 weeks in, dude. I'm just fucking walking out.
You can't put your 2 weeks in. You're in a different reality.
I'm out.
Wait, is that you accepting it or is that you quitting that life?
And both.
What? Both somehow.
No, I would just be like, I'm a Q, baby.
Wait, but it wasn't about becoming a Q. It was about being a settler of Catan.
Yeah. It was about being a settler of Catan.
Oh. Well,
I think I would try to, I would probably start accepting it fairly soon, like within like a week, just because it's like, well, there's nothing contrary to what my beliefs were. But I think in the back of my mind, I would always be like, there's got to be another thing. I think that would never go away.
But wouldn't you wonder what happened to all the people in the
other? That's what I mean. It's always going to be in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I forget. Damn, you would forget about me in a week?
No.
It's Marvin Sears.
That's literally what I'm not saying. I'm literally saying it would always be in the back of my mind.
Okay, but you said forever. You would accept it after a week. You would accept it.
Yeah, but what else can you do, Sarah?
If my reality didn't change, what
like,
can
if he
I
has
do?
Absolutely no way to see you aside from thinking about
he needs,
you, like,
you
what
need,
is there?
No, you need to fight harder. I don't
against
know.
What?
I don't know. Do some investigation.
Would you still love Sarah if she was a worm?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. No, go to your local library. Try to figure things out. I'm not sure, but
maybe pick up another instrument, Marvin.
Yeah.
Like the sintar.
I mean, it would take
play a centaur?
Yeah, that too.
I can't believe you said a week. I think it would take me. It would take
succulent
me definitely. It would take me probably about a decade, I think.
A decade to accept it?
That's
too long.
Yeah.
By then, you would just be in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. They would probably be like, well, she's far gone.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's where I would end up a little bit. Like, I would spend some time just freaking out over, like, I know an entire other reality, and this isn't it. And I would probably be viewed as kind of crazy for a while.
I'd be like, dude, this is what I would do. Immediately, I would start fucking writing Beatles songs and pawning them off.
That's so good.
That is the premise of a movie.
Yesterday. That's what I would do, though. But think about it. Like, I'd just be a baller, dude. Just fucking...
And you can even like tweak them to like fix all the little bits that you never really liked.
Also just start inventing technologies that aren't in this universe and being like, yeah, I invented the iPhone.
Straight to iPhone.
Yeah, it goes straight to I'll create the 4G network and everything all at once. Yeah. So
yeah.
I would still never forget the ones I loved. I would spend a lifetime. No,
I would
it would be
you guys immediately.
It would be you said it would be in the back of your mind.
Well, yes, because in the front of my mind is a separate reality.
Yeah. I would never
forgetting that whole reality you gotta live in the meantime.
I would Here's never be okay. I
if I'm in a new reality, okay. I'm going to become a fucking warlord or a crime boss, dude.
You know, they were very accepting of Picard's going crazy. They were just like, you're a little crazy right now, but you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think there might be a period of time, depending on exactly what I go through, like of me just questioning whether or not it even is real. And if the right sequence of events happened, I might end up testing that.
Yeah, me too.
And then
it'd
be a Groundhog Day
question.
Thing.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I just thought about this. Are you awake right now or are you dreaming? Like, which is the reality?
That's a classic philosophical question.
Not again.
Not today.
I think about that a lot. Like, is this the dream or is when I go to sleep when I'm actually awake? And that's the.
I think that's like an actual Confucius line. He says, am I dreaming when I'm a dream? Am I alive when I'm dreaming or am I dreaming when I'm alive, awake? You know? So.
See also Alice in Wonderland.
I mean, I don't
see
think,
also Kingdom Hearts.
I don't know if that could be confirmed.
Also Creed
at all. I don't know.
Can you take me? It can't be confirmed. It can't be confirmed. It will not be confirmed. Not today. Not ever.
I mean, the scarier version of this is the extension of the transporter.
Brain in the jar.
Yeah. No, the transporter.
The transporter. Oh. Like, we're all Jason Statham.
No, every time you go to sleep. When you wake up, did you technically die and now you're a new person?
Oh, yeah. That
oh,
version.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way to prove
it's like
that.
Like anytime you lose consciousness, how can you be sure?
Yeah. You go under for surgery. How do you know you didn't die?
Oh, my God. That's so scary.
that's why I said it's a scarier version of that.
Yeah. And you can do that right here on Earth.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Thanks, Adam, for scaring us all.
I'm not scared. I have existential angst every day. None of this matters.
Like, even if I'm different, it's just as bad.
It doesn't matter. We all got to go.
So then we go to Johnny's email. So Johnny, finished season 3.
Oh.
So these are all the correlated statistics for season 3. And
okie doke.
The most interesting correlation, so that he's doing correlations with Sarah as well.
Oh. Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And it turns out the two people who are the most correlated in terms of opinion on season 3, it's actually Sarah and Ricardo.
No, I knew that. Yeah. I knew it.
So you guys agreed the most.
We're ballers, dude.
Yeah,
seems like we agree more than we think, I guess. I thought
agree
we did.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. Good. Good. I was waiting for that.
But so classic. top five episodes of season 3. Some of these will be obvious. So number 5 is actually these aren't obvious. Number 5 was Deja Q. So all the times we talked about shitting on Q episodes, we actually
I actually need to look this up now to remember why we like
I think Deja Q is the one where he lost his powers. So that might be why, cuz it's good to see Q get his comeuppance and like kind of fucked over. Next it was it was Hollow Pursuits, cuz that was the first episode Barkley shows up.
No, it was Barkley.
And we thought that was fun. Third was The Defector. That was the Romulan that knew they were making Fire Festival somewhere and try to warn everybody. Third was Captain's Holiday, because that's the episode where Picard goes on his sexy Indiana Jones
The Horcrux?
Adventure.
The Horcrux one?
The
one where she meets Vash the Stampede.
Vaja.
Vaja. Ba, ba. It's like what they chant in Batman, The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what they were chanting for her. And number one, this is no surprise, Yesterday's Enterprise.
Which is that one?
That's the one where Tasha comes back.
Tasha's return.
Oh, yeah.
For time travel.
Timey-wimeys.
Arguably one of the best episodes of the whole series.
I don't know about that, dude.
Rather, not Tasha's return, but an introduction of a second Tasha.
Yes, of
two Enterprise. Two Tashas.
And bottom five. So this is interesting. Fifth worst episode was Evolution. I don't remember what that is. What was Evolution?
It's about accidentally released nanites.
Oh, it's the first episode. It's the one where Wesley accidentally makes the fucking things that's eating the ship.
Yeah. You know what? I'm angry fucking reliving the fucking memory, dude.
Fourth worst, Booby Trap, the one where Geordi is a huge creep. Against holographic Leia Brahms.
Zero.
This is before real Leia Brahms showed up.
Yeah, so, that was before Leia real
Brahms, the boy.
But I still hold that it's the ship who was crushing.
Yes,
Geordi.
It was clearly the ship trying to fuck Geordi.
The ship was a pervert, not Geordi.
Geordi didn't think about it that way when he met her from Rome.
Point, that was Geordi.
Geordi was him just not
being a creeper.
He's making bad choice after bad choice and over again.
Is a creeper
The problem is Geordi got used to the ship creeping on Geordi.
Yeah.
And Geordi, so he paid the creeping forward.
He should just date the ship. Why doesn't he try
Why not?
Yeah, date the Enterprise.
It's fine. Just date the ship.
He knows
socially
the Enterprise.
Acceptable.
Third worst was Transfigurations.
Normalized dating ships.
I forget what Transfigurations was as well. Is that the one
make
where he
creepy
was...
ships great again?
I think Transfigurations was. Oh, that's the one where Jesus was there and he was turning into a glowing being in a morph suit. That was.
Yeah.
See, that one sucked. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was Tin Man. And Tin Man is the one with the Betazoid.
Another, like, you know, guest on the ship is a kind of an annoying asshole.
Yeah, he's like that was the Betazoid who was like, I can hear everything. I'm crazy.
Yeah, but I need to go out and find this weird living, like, hunk of meat in space.
And become, go inside
this,
it and become.
But I don't like it.
Yeah. And then he disappears with him. And then with the goo.
And then they live happily ever after.
Yeah. It's implied that they've become
Secret
lovers.
Of the ooze.
Yeah. And then the worst episode was The High Ground. So that was the one where, I think this is the one where Beverly gets kidnapped by their version of the IRA, terrorists.
Oh,
and then it's the one where she goes, oh, you could be a good doctor one day if you live.
If you don't die.
Yeah.
If you grow up.
Yeah, if you grow up.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. It's the little kid,
I hate
right?
That episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish they would have just killed Beverly in that episode.
I think the primary thing we hated about it is that this was their clumsiest attempt to try to explore terrorism.
And January 9th?
Yeah. Then they just.
Or 6th, whatever day it was.
ninth if you have dyslexia.
Oh yeah,
I'm not even gonna try to recall my opinions of the episode.
It was
a little
not,
far removed from you now.
It was just really clumsy in their attempts to.
Yeah, no, I just don't remember loving it.
Yeah, yeah. But we rated it the worst. In fact, it's a big jump because we rated Tin Man, which is the second worst, is a 4.13 overall.
Average.
Average, yeah. And then The High Ground was 2.63. We really hated
Damn.
This episode.
Oh, wow.
That was a really big jump. Yeah, yeah. So thanks, Johnny, for the updates. Looking forward to season 4.
Thank you, Johnny.
We really appreciate
you. We appreciate your hard work. Thank you.
We appreciate all of your hard work correlating and correlating. No, it's collating.
Collating
all of this
colander, data. Colandering.
I mean, correlation is occurring here and there, but
bringing all this data together.
Coronation.
It's very, very nice of you. Very
compiling.
Much
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Is there any more synonyms we can think of? combining. Yeah. Correlating,
consolidating, aggregating,
aggregating.
Need to be C's.
Gathering,
crushing,
collecting.
Collecting is probably the actual most clearest definition.
Send it, boys.
Ladies. Yeah, but if you guys have liked it, what we're doing, maybe you could join our channel. That'd be great.
If you have the money. If you don't have the money, listen for free. It's fine. Yeah. No one gives a fuck.
This will always be available for free, but you know, for only $1.99
get us off of Pirate Bay. It's fine.
Yeah.
For only $1.99 a month, you can become a member of our YouTube channel and gain early access to new episodes, YouTube ad-free versions of the episodes, and we are officially going to move ahead and start trying to get that Discord going. And
yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. For the price of a succulent Chinese meal, you can pay for the whole year.
Way
you
less
can pay
than
for the
that.
Whole year. For the whole year.
At this
though.
Point, a succulent Chinese meal is the cost of like
$50. Like
no, dude, for one person?
No, it's like 10 months.
One person at Panda would probably still rack up like a $15 meal.
Well, how many fucking egg rolls are you buying, dude?
No, I'm just getting one plate, dude.
One plate. Was it two entrees or three?
Getting the three entrees. Yeah.
That's like $20, dude.
Well, yeah. That with the three, it's like, yes, yeah, 20. That's way more. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right. That's a lot. But
like I said, 10 months.
In the comments, leave how many fucking entrees you get at Panda Express. I'm a three entree person myself.
I'm a three entree person as well.
Yeah.
Just get two, man. I don't need that extra thingy that comes over.
Sarah, one. You're going to be the opposite of us.
I'm a three, but I never eat the third option.
What do you
That's
you
true.
Just throw it away?
You tend to like
I give it
go,
to Marvin.
Oh, I'm too full. This is every meal. This is every meal.
It's like a eyes
so
are
So you
bigger
have a four entree and she has a two entree.
Yeah, this is every meal. I always, by this point, I know to order less food because I know that halfway through the meal, every Taco Bell visit, Sarah will order way too many things. Yeah. And then she'll be like, oh, I couldn't finish this third spicy potato soft taco. Here, you can have it.
It's because eyes are bigger than my stomach. Like I get there and I'm like, oh, I want everything.
You know what they say though?
What?
Clear eyes, full hearts. Can't lose.
They do?
They say that. Yeah. They say that.
Oh.
Like that. Where do they say that?
I never heard that.
A Taco
before.
Bell. If you go in there, they're like, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Oh, that's what they've been shouting every time I walk in.
That's what Yo Quiero Taco Bell means when you translate it.
I thought they were just really effing up. Yes, I must say.
Oh, next week, we're going to watch Rascals.
Those Rascals.
Not Rascals.
How little are they?
They are actually quite little. You'll see.
Damn.
Rascals.
It's a bunch of rascals.
Will we
rascal
get to see
flats.
The original Alfalfa?
Maybe, in a way.
As long as he doesn't steal anyone's bit.
That's going to be Rascals next week. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Succulent Chinese meal?
Stop it. You're just doing it out of nowhere for no reason. Fuck.
I'm going to have to look this up.
You never seen it?
No.
I thought you saw it.
No.
Oh.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We gotta show it to you. Yeah, yeah.
Sarah, you need to see Democracy Manifest.
This is Democracy Manifest.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Type in succulent.
Chinese meal.
Chinese meal.
End the episode. It's fine.
Everyone, look up succulent Chinese meal.
Yes, yes, yes. Look it up.